That's right, we are back. 134th installment of this show. I need y'all to stay with me. I'm recording this show on Saturday, and if you tuned into Friday's installment of the Daily Nationalist at the top of the show, I said something along the lines of, man, I've got clown world fatigue. I just can't take it anymore. It's tough to soldier on. And see, I have like a hangover that it's still hanging with me. Still struggling with it, but we're going to try. We're going to work through this. We're going to try to turn out with a good show. We're going to try to get things moving and maybe get a little more upbeat as we go. I'm having to muster it up today, y'all. We have to soldier through because I'm just fatigued with the constant clown. This show, of course, as you should already know. If you're new around here, you might not. We're supported by the voluntary financial support of you, the listeners. If you want to be a part of that, you can look down at the bottom of the description page. We've got snail mail, we've got Bitcoin, got Monero, got email down there. You can drop us a note. Got a weirdo cryptocurrency. Just let me know. I'll do my best to get you an address for that. With that having been said, let's jump real quick through the listener supporter mail bag. Mr. T, GPD, keep up God's work and bless you. Thank you. I need all the help I can get. It's hard to keep the faith in the middle of this insanity. Grandpa, I recently came across documentation showing that every COVID vaccine was protein tested using abortion-derived cell lines. This should provide anyone with a solid religious exemption from the COVID vaccine without having to claim to be part of any kind of weird anti-vax fringe denomination. I'll email you documentation. I did receive that. Thank you. Loving all the shows. Keep up the great work. And thanks for everything. That's from Andy. And yeah, well, anything we can use, anything the people can use to fend themselves off, fend the beast off of themselves is useful. I look for them to do away. They'll just get a court to say these, your religion doesn't apply because there's a virus. I mean, that's what they've done with every other thing. We're trying to operate within these rules and these guidelines, but they keep changing them now because now they have the ultimate excuse. There's a virus. Let's say you have the right to body autonomy. I'm sorry, no, there's a virus. You have the right not to be locked in your home, basically put under house arrest. No, but you see, there's a virus. You have the right to protest. Yes, you have a right to protest, but you got to understand it's different right now. We have an excuse. There's a virus. And one of the things I found funny on the news here recently, here in Texas, they passed this, what they're calling the heartbeat bill. And it bans abortion, which, of course, this will grind through the courts. It's more of the same circus shit show. I'm not really going to get off into that. But one thing I did find humorous is, you know, they're talking about this abortion bill that was passed in Texas that limits, you know, just totally infringes on women's right to slaughter their babies. And, you know, because if there's one thing that's part of our basic values and who we are, it's about slaughtering children and pass them through the fire to Moloch. Anyway, and there was a news story on it. I was watching on the news. And of course, you have this usual cadre of ugly slags that you can't imagine anybody wanting to get pregnant out there protesting, and they're doing the usual shit. They're acting like it's the 1980s, and they're out there with their signs and their t-shirts, hands off my body, my choice. And I'm thinking every one of these ugly bitches would be all about forcing you to take the vaccine. If you applied that to the vaccine, these people would be like, oh yes, you know, because you did, there's a virus. My body, my choice, but there's a virus. Can't have that. But the disconnect, it doesn't matter. There's just like, it doesn't connect. These people just are ruled emotionally. That's what's so great about the media. So great for the media. The media just, they're very fortunate because the vast majority of people are morons and they can just be manipulated emotionally. So all you got to do, it doesn't matter. They don't ever make the connection and go, wait a minute, I'm standing out here with this stupid t-shirt that somebody, we'll never know who, somebody manufactured these identical t-shirts so we could manage to match. And I'm holding up my sign about my body, my choice, and keep your hands off my body, and I have body autonomy. They won't make the logical conclusion what about these vaccines then? What about your bodily autonomy with that? They don't make that. No, it's just whatever the emotion is. The virus. I can't get through a single show without talking about the damn virus, the doom virus, new variants always coming down the pike. We just never. I try not to dwell on it too much, but you know, there's just no escaping it. Of course, now one of the things they've moved forward that they're going, and the whole point of it is so that they can mandate the vaccine. So one of the legal things, a little rickety legal standing, people had to resist this, these mandatory vaccines, like it's your business, it's your employment. It can't force you to take it because it was actually approved. It wasn't actually approved as under this emergency use authorization that made a legal loophole. Couldn't mandate the vaccine. So they rushed through and got the FDA to stamp their, as if that means anything. They had the FDA stamp an approval on the vaccine. Now you see it's totally safe because the FDA says so. So now that opens the door where they can start moving forward. And you're seeing these hospitals already do it. And they're moving forward with this mandating because now they closed the legal loophole where you could say, oh, well, this is experimental. It's not approved, so you can't force me to take it. That's why I said earlier with resist the best you can, but I think they'll find a way to close the legal loophole. If it's just winding up saying it doesn't count because there's a virus, they're not going to let that stand. But yes, I mean, you know, anything you can do to stave it off while you can is a good thing. It's funny because they talk about the hospitals were the first ones that are going out here implementing this vaccine mandate. And now they're trying to claim they're having a shortage of staff because they're all just burned out from dealing with the virus. No, they're not. They're all quitting because of these vaccine mandates. But I was thinking, because now they've put this rubber stamp of approval. The FDA has officially put their rubber stamp of approval. Now, I was listening last Thursday's Daily Nationalist with Dr. Johnson, Sven Longshanks, and they were talking about OxyContin and the Sackler family and the pharmaceutical industry and, you know, how they're doing this lawsuit settling, you know, all of these people died from this horrible drug, this drug overdoses and this highly addictive opioid. Anyway. And all of this discussion, I was thinking to myself, the one thing that should be pointed out, no offense, they were covering it from a different angle. I'm not picking at Dr. Johnson and Sven's show. That's not my intention at all. But the thing that kept jumping out in my mind talking about this is the FDA approved it. How can this be? How can hundreds of thousands of people have died from overdoses because of this highly addictive drug? Because the FDA approved it. How could it not? The same FDA that says these vaccines have no long-term studies are totally safe. I'm sure the FDA defenders would say, well, they were presented the information from the pharmaceutical. So you're counting on the pharmaceutical companies to be honest. Let that sink in. The FDA is going to go off of whatever the pharmaceutical companies tell them. Pharmaceutical companies said, this totally shit's totally safe. trust us. And they rubber stamp it. Enough money to change hands. But the same FDA that has approved drugs that have turned out to be horribly fatal in the past, but that doesn't count. You don't have to worry about that because now they say this vaccine is totally safe. Now we can move forward with mandating it. It's just going to get more and more bumpy out there. Crazy, crazy world. I read a deal the other day. It was an editorial in RT, and I don't have it in front of me. I didn't feel like it. I got the gist of the editorial, and the editorial was basically, I don't know if the person, and again, no offense to my boomer listeners, you know, we're talking about groups. Oh, no, he's going to talk about the boomers again. But no, I'm not. I'm really not. But I don't know if the author of the article is a boomer or not, but it was like one of the most boomer articles I've read in a long time. And it was this editorial about how lazy these people are getting in America. These Americans, these younger people, they're just getting lazy. And the point was, and I've seen this too. You go through town and you see help wanted signs everywhere. You know we have high unemployment in the country. And you see all of these help wanted signs. And this guy's simplistic. I get, you know, I've said this before. I get that most people don't do critical thinking. I don't consider myself to be like this huge big brain person, but I do try to observe things and make common sense out of them. One of the things that just wears me the hell out is people that come up with a bumper sticker side, just some simplistic ass answer, and they act like, oh, there it is. Let's see. We've got high unemployment in this country, massive unemployment in this country. You drive through town, and there's help wanted signs everywhere. People can't get any help. The answer must be that people are just freaking lazy. That's what it is. People are lazy. They just don't want to work. What a simplistic dullard of an answer. And this guy managed to fill an entire article with this shit. I looked at the comments down below. I looked at some of the comments at the bottom of the article, you know, and it's some of the crap that you could expect, you know. Well, people don't like the wages. You get higher wages by getting bigger, better skills. You want higher wages, you get better skills. How many college educated people? Because people were told their whole lives, you got to go to college. The answer to everything, go to college, get your degree. And then you have college degreed people working some job that just doesn't even require that, you know. Now, granted, some people go and get shitty, worthless degrees. I get that. But what skills? What skills? I mean, what exactly are people supposed to do? Work in manufacturing? Can't do that. They shipped all that overseas. Told everybody they were going to get high-paid computer jobs. And some did. Most didn't. But then the people that managed to go and get an education, increase their skills, learn to do computer jobs, then the companies just refused to hire them and then went to the government and said, well, we can't get any people, so we need you to expand the visa program so we can import people that will work cheaper than what Americans here will work for. We just replace you right here or ship those jobs overseas as well. People are lazy. They just don't want to work. Look, I'm an early Gen Xer. I barely squeezed into Gen X. I'm barreling towards my mid-50s here. I'm no spring chicken, sadly. And I can tell you, if you've got some age on you and you catch yourself bitching about like young people or this, young people, you just need to shut the hell up. And I say that as somebody who's not exactly young anymore. Shut the hell up with that. Oh, young people are just lazy. They don't want... I was thinking about this, these people, young, and applying it to young white men in particular, young white men, because, you know, I'm not like these presumptuous assholes who go out there and pretend to speak for blacks at a Black Lives Matter rally. They got their own people. They can speak for themselves. I think black people are perfectly capable of speaking for themselves. They don't need me to insert myself. I don't pretend to do that. I speak for white people. I'm going to speak up about white people because that is my perspective. It's utterly racist of you. You should instead think that you're morally superior and you speak for them. I'm telling you, I can't take it. Can't take the clown much longer. I was thinking about the perspective of young white men. Somebody could say these young white men are lazy. Well, look at them. They just want to lay around their mom and daddy's house, play video games all day. They don't want to work. Hey, get out there. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Get out there. Get to working. Why in the hell should they? I'm going to say it again. Why in the hell should these young white men go out there and work? I'm sorry if you've got, look, I get it because I read so much and I try to read as much as I can and I follow the trends of society. But look, you have no freaking clue what younger people really is like. I mean, I know what's going on, but I haven't been through it. I can understand it from a detached perspective. Young men, young white men today have spent literally their entire lives being told by their education system, by their society, held probably by their churches that everything that's wrong in the world is their fault. You have no history. Your people have done nothing but oppress everybody else. You've just gone around the world shitting on other races, cheating everybody. You are the problem. In fact, we need to end it. We need to end whiteness. Your basic thing that a person strives for in life. What? A young white man's desire in life? Get married? Start a family? There's no hope of that. You're not going to get married and start a family working down here at some shitty job. Service. And these jobs all entail, virtually all of them, because, you know, I've heard this and I've heard this from people. There's hiring. There's help wanted signs all over town. What the hell? Why are people not applying for these jobs? Because virtually every one of them involves working with the public. Which means standing across the counter, inevitably, at some point, standing across the counter from some sanctimonious asshole who is berating you while you make shit wages, berating you and treating you like you're stupid because the customer is always right, even when they're wrong. And you have to put up with this shit for crap wages that you are never going to be able to buy a place with, be able to buy a home with, support a family. Start a family, you can't. Well, you increase your wages by increasing your skills. And skills in what? Computer jobs? That's what they told us back in the 90s we were going to go do. But they took those away, by and large. They took those away as well. I'm not saying there's no opportunities out there. But by and large, for the masses of people, there are no opportunities out there. A young white man who's been told his entire life that everything's his fault. He's the lowest of the low. If you're not some form of homosexual and you're a white man, then you are on the bottom of the rung of the ladder. Everybody else is a sanctified holy group. You are the oppressor. You have your white privilege. You have all of these things. It's your fault. You're demonized. You should go out there and work a pointless job. You work one of these jobs, putting up with this crap for shit wages. And if you are lucky, you might get a roommate and live in a little shitty apartment the size of your room and maybe be able to buy food. Or you just stay at your mom and daddy's and live in your bedroom and they'll buy your food. Why in the hell? A young man wants to go out. See, I don't believe these people are fundamentally lazy. I think they're fundamentally unplugging, and I don't blame them. Young black man wants to go out. Everybody's instinctual drive. For young white man, go out, get independent, start a family. You think these young guys sitting around playing video games all day and in their rooms, you think that's what they want to do? No, they want to get independent. They want to get out there. Do what? Oh, you want to get a wife, start a family. Good luck. Look at the pool. What are your potential? The vast majority of the women, young women you're going to have to choose from are fat. They're entitled. They have a shitty attitude, and they probably have a list of sex partners from various races as long as your leg. Go ahead. Good luck starting a family with that. The legal system's stacked where even if you do that, she's probably going to screw you over at any point she decides to. She may, you'll be starting a family all right because she's got three different kids from three different baby daddies. Good luck, yeah, instant family. None of them will be yours. What the hell? Why the hell should young white men plug into this? This isn't all negative. The thing is, as much as they demonize us, as much as they hate us, and yes, they hate us, this is an anti-white race-hating agenda. No, I'm not pretending I invented the anti-white narrative, you know, the anti-white label there. But I do stick the race-hating agenda on it because I think it is important to point out that it is an agenda of hate. As much as they hate us, as much as they demonize us, this entire shit show system that we live under requires us. It requires white men to keep everything working. It's funny, you have like a storm come through or some sort of disaster or whatever that used to years ago, we weathered pretty well. And now as these cities become more and more diversity run, all of a sudden everything falls apart. Everything becomes a complete shambles, a complete shit show. Yeah, I wonder why. It's a mystery. Isn't it ironic? The very machine that seeks to grind us up requires us to be a part of the cogs that keep it turning. I think if all of this unemployment and we can't get anybody, I think if it all hinges on basically unintentionally white men have gone on or starting to go on some sort of strike, I think that's a great thing. Stop the cogs a turning. If white men, they had this deal. Oh, some time back, I guess it's something they probably do every year at one of the colleges because college is so important. And they tell black people, you should stay home. We're going on a black strike. We're going to stay home for a week and we'll make them miss us then. Imagine, I wish if I had this power, I wish I could have every white man in the nation stop working for a month. Every single one of them, every engineer, every construction worker, every whatever the hell, wish every white man just stay home for a month and watch this shit show collapse on itself. Let the freaking women run it. Let the diversity run it. Just let them have at it. Let's see what they can do. Let's give them 30 freaking days and see what they can do with this shit show. The entire thing would collapse on itself. These people don't want to work. They don't want to work to their own destruction. They don't want to work for a system that demonizes them every chance they get. Anytime you spend in the workplace, I don't know. It's But no, you get guys like this guy that wrote this story. It's simplistic. So the answer is, see, as we've already covered in this short few minutes, we've pointed out there's multifaceted reasons this can be happening. But you got some dullard here that gets paid a hell of a lot more money than any of us who writes up a stupid article about it because people are lazy. How simplistic is that? When you're looking at something that has to be a fairly complicated thing, yes, there's no need in overcomplicating things. But at the same time, if you go the other extreme and you come up with something so simplistic as people are lazy, then you don't have a clue. Bury yourself in debt. That's the way to do it. You know, I don't know. It's so many things that people that we've been told our whole lives have been proven to be wrong. You know, I mean, it's just proven to be wrong. It's really disheartening. You know, we were growing up and as people even now, you know, you're growing up and people tell you these things and you trust them. You trust them that it's right. You know, and then as you age and you realize that it was all utter bullshit, it's very disheartening. But they want to keep you checked into the system. I don't know. It's just, people just seem unable, you know, to accept reality. You know, you have these people still running around talking about elections, you know, Trump 2024. We get a lot of that around here, you know. People get so hung up on the Trump thing. You know, and before you get offended, like if you're a big Trump supporter, you know, and you're holding on to that. Look, we memed him into the office. We were biggest pushers of Trump when he got elected as anybody. If anything, a lot of people were kind of Johnny come lately to that. But see, we're attached to reality. We realize, you know, things have shifted. We've moved on. These other people aren't capable of that. They're still holding on to the Trump thing like it's Trump running for his first term or something. Trump 2024. Yes, because they won't steal the next election. It's like they don't have any, I don't know. You know, people just aren't able to accept reality. They'll sit there and ramble all of this. The demon rats, they stole the election. Joe Biden, he dubbed it. So what are you going to do? We're going to elect Trump 2024. That'll show him. Because then he'll be able to have two terms. Because it's double. Not going to steal the election. Not only now and the next time they're not going to steal it, but they're going to let him get reelected and be like 90 or something by then. But never mind. You know, we have this fantasy. I don't know. I guess I get it. You know, on a sense. People understand there's something wrong. They just don't know any answers. They don't want to listen to anybody, by the way, who might have any answers because they might say something outside of the norm. Even people, and this applies, it applies to everybody. I mean, it's like on our show we did Friday, Sven Longshanks and I, you know, we did a show on this Antifa teacher. We got off into this discussion. And it's like these people have this disconnect. Those people, they have this disconnect. They think they're somehow fighting authority. They think the people support them and they're fighting authority. And they think in their minds, this is demonstrated by the fact that they can show up at a protest and attack people and the cops can't successfully arrest them and prosecute them. And they think this means they have some sort of popular support and they're fighting the system. It's like a disconnect. It's like a disconnect in there. You know, they don't see the contradiction. And I think some of this mental disconnect, you know, you apply this to conservatives. I don't mean these conservative shills, these pundits, these politicians who claim they're conservative. I'm just talking about people, regular, normal, working class people. Whenever I run down conservatives, I'm not trying to run those people down. You know, they sit here and they have nothing else. I mean, they get a certain amount of it. They grasp a certain amount of it. They sit here and they'll say fake news. The news is fake. The media, they don't trust the media. But trust me, as somebody with experience in this matter, if the media attacks somebody they know in their community, they'll believe it 100% without question, without fail. Most of them. Most, not all. Most. Most will sit there and believe it. It doesn't matter. Trust me. The same people around you, if you got the people that you know in your life, who have known you maybe your whole life, growing up, they know who you are. They went to school with you. They know you. Hell, might even be family. They've known you your whole life. And they'll sit there and have discussions with you about, yeah, lying media. They lie about everything. And the same lying media if they write a slant, if they write an article calling you a bunch of names, they'll buy into it. They will, they'll check out. They will suddenly not know you. The same exact people who yesterday were telling you they don't trust anything the media says. But if they say something juicy about you, they'll believe it. Trust me. Disconnect. It's this mental disconnect. All these people have this mental disconnect. Maybe it's because we're getting these constantly contradicting signals from those perceived to be in authority. I don't know. But everybody, all these people, this mental disconnect. They just can't seem to put it. Can't seem. So, and they wind up looking like, you know, well, they wind up making no sense because they have all of these contradictions in their worldview. And again, it's easy to point to these, you know, communist would-be type of people. They're easy target. But the contradictions exist pretty much in everybody in the population as a whole. Speaking of conservatives and conservative punditry, conservative politicians, how could they demonstrate themselves to be any more worthless? Now they're out there saying, what? We need to bring more Afghan refugees here. They're out there cursing Joe Biden as if he's actually making any really real decisions. They're out there cursing Joe Biden. They're trying to score political points. And they're saying, what? We should have stayed in Afghanistan indefinitely, but now that we're not, we should be bringing more of them here. They have no connection to their base. And again, conservatives will be out there. Well, we just need to vote for more people. These are the people you voted for. What about my Supreme Court judges? How's that worked out? They can't understand. The people refusing to check into the system and work jobs that have no real future anyway have a lot more connection to reality than people that keep saying, well, we got to go back and vote harder. They have no connection to reality. How has that worked so far? If it doesn't work, you got to decide, well, this isn't working. The Republican Party. Republican Party. What have they managed to conserve? What have they done? I always laugh because of the last meaningful thing I can think of that the Republican Party accomplished was when Newt Gingrich was in Congress in the 90s and they did away with the 55-mile-an-hour nationwide speed limit. Younger people are always shocked about that. You say, man, yeah, it used to be anywhere in the country. You legally, the fastest you could go was 55. If you've ever been on Interstate 10 out there somewhere around Balmoreda out in West Texas, you know how ridiculous a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit was, and nobody did it. Everybody broke the law. Everybody just sped and hoped they didn't get caught. That's when radar detectors were a real big thing. Everybody tried to buy one that worked really good because everybody sped. Everybody was speeding. You can't get anywhere in Texas doing no damn 55. That is the last thing I can really think of off the top of my head that Republicans actually accomplished. They actually reversed and got rid of the 55-mile-an-hour nationwide speed limit. Of course, as usual, Team D was proclaiming that there would be slaughter in the streets or some dumb shit, which never transpired. That's the last thing, though. That's not a real bright track record for Team R. Team R. We've got to stand up and bring more Afghans into America. Yes, we need more of them here. That's the answer. We couldn't successfully subdue them there, as if we should have been trying in the first place. But let's say, since we failed at that, since we failed imposing anal democracy on the Afghan people there, let's just import them all here. Then they can truly come to appreciate gay anal democracy. That's our values. It's who we are. We couldn't get them to appreciate it while we were there. So we're going to just import them here, and then they're going to be wallowing in the gay anal. They're going to be gay, and it's going to bring us more diversity and strength. Everything's going to, it doesn't make any sense. You expect Team D to advocate for these things, but it's Team R. It's Team R. We're the real multiculturalists, I guess. The Democrats aren't doing enough. They're the real racists. They're the real xenophobes. They're not bringing enough Afghans into the country. How long? How long do we have to pretend that this is real? How long do we have to pretend that middle management is somehow representing us instead of the board of directors? How long do we have to pretend with that? Conservative. One of the most frustrating things, and I talked about this multiple times, you know, is this whole thing. There's a foreign power. that our politicians are just answering to, Joe Biden in particular, but all of them. They've all been bought and paid for. They're doing the bidding of a foreign power. And you're like, easy now. You're fixing to step on a big old trope here in a minute. You're fixing to get snug. You're fixing to get snagged by a canard. Talking about that. Yeah, the Chinese. And you're just like, poof, I'd throw my hands up. I give up. You're supposed to sit and listen to these people and take them seriously while they go on and on about how the Chinese wield all of this influence over our politicians. They just own them. The politicians are paid for by the Chinese. Yes, that's why you can't go on social media and criticize the Chinese without getting banned. Oh, wait, it's not the Chinese. That most powerful, the most everybody acknowledges, the most powerful lobbying group in the country is what, CHIPAC? It's like these people, they want to grasp it, but they want to stay within the box. You know, this foreign influence, these politicians are bought and paid for, and they're not representing America. Look at the billions of dollars we're sending to China. I'm telling you, I can't deal with it. Can't deal with it. It's hard. It's hard for me to deal with it week in, week out. Just looking at it, just throwing my hands up. Let it burn. It's hard to even care anymore. The same thinking. Don't be lazy. Get out there and get a pointless job with no future. That's what you should be doing. You should be going out there and spending your days working a dead-end shit job. Better yet, go get you a college. If you don't like the dead-end shit job, go get you a college degree. Bury yourself in a mountain of debt as you're getting your life started. And with basically zero hope of having anything much better than the shit job you've already got now after you graduate from college. Keep it running, though. We don't have any new answers. No new answers. Just keep doing the same thing. Get out there. Get yourself buried in as much debt as possible. And work a pointless dead-end job for slave wages. That's totally what you should do. Keep grinding. Keep grinding. Keep those cogs turning. Grind us up further. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe just people just don't have any answers. But that's not really true. Because there's people like us. And I'm not me. No, people like us. There's plenty of people out here that are saying, look, this is what's going on. Look, we need to do something different. They just don't want to listen. Anyway, we got to wrap up the regular portion of the show. We need to get in the Christian specific segment. So, yeah, you know what to do. Let's get in there. Fill those pews. Let's get this week's sermon going here at the Parish of the Patriots. So as we get settled in this week, I'm not really going to do a Bible reading this week. I do want to have more of a general discussion. I was just sitting here before recording thinking, you know, how do I want this to look? And I know where I want to go with this. Unfortunately, it's going to mean kind of getting into really kind of wandering off into broader territory and then trying to reel everything back in to where it makes some sort of sense. So bear with me. If it seems like we're kind of getting off into a tangent, it's intentional. We're hopefully going to get things reeled back in to where it makes sense. And what I wanted to talk about was God's laws as a general term, God's rules, the natural order of things. And we're also going to look at this in comparison to man's rules and the laws handed down from men. Now, when I talk about God's laws, I'm not talking about like every Mosaic law you can find in the Old Testament. I'm just kind of, you can think about like the Ten Commandments or when Jesus was asked to give a summary, basically a brief summary of the law. And it was basically put like, you know, love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. That's the general summary. Now, I like to think of the natural order of things because this is what God has established. This keeps everything working in this world. As comparison with man's laws. Now, with God's laws, if you think of the natural order of things, I think of the natural order as, you know, because we're on this world, this thing that God created, this little pocket of time and this world that we've been given to live in. And, you know, if you think of it as a machine, you know, the natural order of things is the operation of the machine. What God has handed down, his rules and his guidelines, are like having a manual for the machine. If you're looking at this life and it's like, how can I make this life run smoother? You'd want to look at the manual. This is why in different parts of the Bible you could read and it'll say, you know, if you follow these rules, if you follow God's laws, you know, things will go well with you. Well, why? Well, because if you're operating a machine, if you follow the manual that comes with the machine, it's going to work better for you. If you're one of these people that throws the manual out and says, well, I'm just going to make this machine do whatever I want it to, you're going to have a lot harder time. You're going to run into a lot more trouble. And if it's a large machine with a lot of moving parts, you might actually kill yourself with it just because you're not following the manual. The natural order of things is essentially God's laws are like the manual to understand this life. And if you don't follow the manual, you're going to have a harder time. Men's rules, on the other hand, there really are no rules. And this becomes more apparent as we live in this post-legal, this clown world collapsing society. We have all these rules, all these laws dictated by men. But all they are, when it comes down to it, is brute force. People get this notion, we got the Constitution, we have this, we have that. But at the end, it all comes down to brute force. If you don't follow their rules, if you don't follow their laws, at some point they will send somebody with a gun. And if they have to, they will kill you. Now, you might say that's a little over the top. That's extreme. But is it? Let's take something as trivial as speeding. You're going down the highway. Speed limit 60 miles an hour. You're doing 70. Highway patrol sitting out there. He turns his lights on. You're sitting there saying, yeah, he's going to pull me over. And he's going to give me a ticket. He might walk up there. Yeah, sure, he's carrying a gun, but it doesn't mean he's going to kill me. It doesn't mean he's being enforced with brute force, but it is. If you don't stop for him, you're doing 70 and a 60. You look up, trooper's behind you, flips his lights on, and you're like, speed limits don't apply to me. I'm going to keep on trucking. Well, guess what? Pretty soon there's going to be more than one behind you. And if you still keep going, eventually they're going to bring an entire truck load of pissed off, and they're not going to be playing around. And if you continue to push the point, yes, they will shoot you. It might have started as, I'm not going to worry about obeying speed limits, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to brute force. With the Lord's rules, it's more of a, look, if you follow this, everything will work out for you. If you follow the manual, the natural order will work in your behalf. It'll work in your favor. You're going to have an easier time. I mean, sure, there's people equate it with like the threat of hell. But it's more than that. It is, if you do these things, and you can go through your Bible, and this admonishment is there in multiple places. If you follow God's law, if you remember God's rules, if you remember God's guidelines, things will go well for you. You'll live a long life. You'll have a better chance of things going your way. And you have to understand, God's guidelines, the natural order, these rules, this manual, it, whether or not you believe in God, whether or not you're a Christian believer, is irrelevant. The more you follow the manual, the more things are going to go your way. This is just, these are the guidelines. This is like an automated system. Keep the world operating. If you think of it this way, one of the things I was thinking about, of course, one of the things being discussed is the U.S.'s defeat in Afghanistan. Now, if you were to think of Old Testament Bible stories, say something that you learn in Sunday school, such as, David versus Goliath, or perhaps one of the stories that we've covered here, with the story of Gideon. Now, if you take those two stories and you take the characters involved and try to make a comparison to the United States versus the Taliban, which one is going to fit where? I would say the U.S. would obviously be Goliath. U.S. would obviously be the massive army that Gideon was facing, and the Taliban would be more closely compared to David, would be more closely compared to Gideon and his handful of forces. Of course, the Taliban are not obviously not Christian believers. And people sit around and like, how did they, when things still being pondered, how did this happen? Nobody seems to have an answer, do they? You've got all these, these people bitching and moaning about the defeat, but they don't really have an answer. Their answer is we should have just stayed in Afghanistan forever, but we weren't gaining anything. This is the funny thing. They're like, oh, we lost Afghanistan, as if we controlled the country. Anybody that's ever been there will tell you the only areas the U.S. ever controlled in the past 20 years were the bases. They had the military bases, and they would send out patrols to drive around. And if somebody shot at the patrols, then they would get into a fight and try to kill them. And then after it was all said and done, they go back into the base. The only areas the U.S. ever really controlled, truly controlled, were the base. The whole thing was a pointless exercise. But the only answer any of these people have is you should just stay there indefinitely in their bases, I guess. I don't know, for PR or whatever. But at the end of the day, nobody has a real answer. You have all these people make excuses. Well, they're just, you know, it's like Vietnam. Well, the politicians didn't let the generals run the war. What? You know, there'll be excuses for this. I mean, the generals are all basically politicians now, and everybody pretty much knows that. So that excuse isn't going to work. I don't know. You know, the most simplistic, I don't know, dullard response is, we should just nuked them and killed them all. That's the answer. You know, but nobody, the fact is, nobody has a real answer. Nobody can really put their finger on it. But if you think of it as a comparison to Gideon and his forces, or even David and Goliath, you know, which side is more aligned with God's rules and God's laws, the natural order of things? Not completely aligned, I'm not saying, but if you take the U.S. and compare it to the Taliban, which one is closer to following the manual? Obviously, the Taliban. That's why, ultimately, they were victorious, because, you know, they might not have been following the manual 100%, but say they were following it 75% of the time. U.S. done burned the manual. What part of the manual they didn't try to wipe their ass with? They done threw it in a fire, burned it up. They disregard the manual. They're making their own rules. They're making their own manual, regardless of how bad the machine is malfunctioning around them. They make their own rules. We're American exceptionalism, right? God's rules, God's manual, God's guidelines don't apply to us. We have American exceptionalism. We're special. The rules have always applied to nations and men all throughout history. Don't apply to us. It's America, I tell you what. The Taliban are closer to following the natural order of things. God's rules, God's guidelines. Not 100%, but they're closer, damn sure closer to the U.S. Now, if you stood in any church today and made this pronouncement, they would all shake their heads and tell you you're wrong, and tell you, and they probably, I guarantee you, probably the first things that would they would point out, they would say, yes, but what about the way they treat women? What about the way they treat homosexuals? And your answer has to be yes. I mean, this is what the quote unquote church was supposed to be, the religious, those who were supposed to be working constantly to keep the people focused on God's rules, God's guidelines, what the Lord has proclaimed. They've sold out to feminism. They've sold out to the world. Promote the homosexual agenda. Promote more feminism, especially the feminism. I tell you what, because you can find churches that are still hardcore on the gay stuff. You know, they're still out there. It's not that hard to find. I mean, yeah, the ones that get all the media attention are the ones that are, you know, they have a lesbian bishop performing gay wedding ceremonies. I mean, those are going to get media attention. But you can go into churches. You can go into small rural churches, whatnot. And you know, they're not promoting all of that. They haven't sold out yet to that. But I guarantee you they will on the feminism. They have on the feminism. They will get their hackles up when you step on the feminism. And they don't even realize that. Because if you said feminism, they're going to think of somebody like Gloria already. You know, some feminist that's real abrasive that they don't like. And they'll be like, I can't stand that bitch. Yeah. But when you get down to the brass tacks, when you get down to the nuts and bolts, they've already signed on to the feminist agenda. If you got really hardcore and said, do you think the Apostle Paul, you know, he was pretty enlightened with the way, you know, God set things up? Damn right. Yep. Sure enough. Do you allow your women to even speak in church? What do you mean, man? Oh, my wife, she'd really get upset if I told her she couldn't open her mouth at any time. They've sold out to the feminism. If you say that the Taliban are closer to the natural order of things than the United States, the feminism would be the first wall they run into, because they just can't. They've soaked it up. They've accepted that into their state of consciousness. Now look, put the trash bag down. I'm not telling you to stuff that trash bag over your wife's face if she's going out in public. And then again, if she is ugly, you might want to stick the trash bag. trash bag over face. I'm not saying they're 100% aligned, but I'm going to tell you what, making your women walk around with trash bags over their heads, completely covered, and the rules they have for their women is a hell of a lot closer to the natural order that God has established to this bullshit that we do in America and the West today. No matter how bad things get, people in the West, Americans, I have to speak of Americans in particular because that's where I live. I don't want to sit here and act like I speak for everybody in Germany. I mean, I know what I read, but I'm not German, not French, I'm not English, I'm not British. So I have to speak of things America because that's going to be what I know about. I don't want to be stepping on anybody's toes. But Americans will sit here and say, well, you know, proclaim that we're a Christian nation, that we're a godly nation. As always, the defense that comes when you point out God's judgment against this nation, they'll point at some other country, like Afghanistan, and they'll say, we're still the most Christian nation in the world. I mean, look, we ain't them guys. It is to our shame that those guys are closer to God's natural established order than we are. It's to our absolute and utter shame. And people are so daft, people are so dense, people are so stupid, they don't even get that. They don't even get what a slap in the face it is. They'll sit there and try to use it like, I don't know, like a virtue signal or something. Well, at least we're not those guys. Those guys. You should be the people this guy. I'm not talking about y'all. I say you and I say we. I'm not personalizing this. I'm using general terms. Stay with me. Don't let your autism kick in. It is to our shame. It should be to the shame of the American people that those people over there who have a whole different religion have still managed. We've got this great tradition of Christianity, God's laws, God's rules, following the Lord. And these people over here that have a whole completely different religion have just somehow managed to be closer to what God has established than we have as far as the way we operate in this world and we run our societies. Again, I'm saying 100%. Bear with me. We are so off track as a nation, as a people, that these people over here, they don't even follow our religion. They don't even worship our God. They've still managed to get it more right than we have as a nation and as a people. For every one of you in the congregation and for myself as well, is one of the most frustrating things. I've decided, because I was thinking the other day, I was in prayer and I was thinking about these things. And I'm like, what is our point? What is our role in this? Those of us who are trying to hold to God's truth as best we can, we're trying to live our life according to the manual. We're trying to live our lives in this insane clown world as much as we can. The remnant. There's a little remnant of people that haven't sold out. I mean, what's our role in all of this? God, what is the point? And I believe the answer is that one of the things that is our role as the remnant is to bear witness to these things. We have to bear witness. This is what happens. When you rebel against God, when you dismiss, when you throw out the manual, the machine's going to chop you up. This is a difficult thing, and I'm having a hard time. I'm not going to lie. Y'all think I sit up here and I talk about these things, and I'm sitting on some high perch, you know, and I've got it all figured out. I don't. You think I don't struggle with this? If you think I've spent like the last week waking up every day going, what is the point? It'd be one thing if we're standing on the shore, standing on a cliff, overlooking the sea, and you're looking at this big boat full of assholes, and they're busy punching holes in the boat. And you're standing up on the cliff and you're hollering at them, hey, y'all are just sinking your own boat. You're going to kill yourselves. Stop. You say, that would be easy. We're stuck in the boat with the assholes punching holes in. And not only are they not listening to us, they will attack us for pointing out what they're doing. They'll try to throw us off the boat ahead of time. The boat's filling up with water. You're like, what are you doing? We're going to drill more holes so the water will drain out. That is the reasoning in this country. We got to do more of it. We have conflict in our society. We have people at each other's throats. We need more diversity. We need more multiculturalism. Women as a group have gone off the freaking rails. We need more feminism. Let's go to the church. Hell, let's find some other people that are saying, let's wander into a church here. Hey, all this insanity. Don't talk about my feminism. My women's rights. We have to have equality. Quote unquote, equality. My gender equality. I thought y'all were based. This is supposed to be a, hardcore Christian church. We're stuck in the boat. They're sinking the boat with us in it. And we have to bear witness to it. We have to speak up and say, hey, y'all are way outside the manual with this. There's nothing in the boat's manual that says punch holes in it. You're doing the opposite. And they won't listen. They're not going to listen. Their ears have been closed up. Their hearts have been hardened. It doesn't matter. They're going to sink the boat. And we're stuck in the boat with them. I have a hard time swallowing this. I got no problem. I told you we were going to wind up. I was going to wind up leading things off into a tangent. And here we are. I have a real problem with this. I have a real problem with the idea that I understand. Those of you listening to this show, y'all get it. Understand what's going on. We speak up. And it doesn't matter. We're stuck in the boat. I don't care that they're sinking the boat with them in it. Their dumbasses get what they get. But why do I got to be stuck in the boat with them? I have a problem with that. Here's the thing. When I say we have to bear witness, I'm not just saying we have to observe it. Because, I mean, yeah, that's part of it. We are observing it and we know. But you see, in pointing these things out, in speaking to these things, when all of these people face God's judgment, the importance of speaking these things, because see, if you go back, and again, I should sit down, I guess, before, because I never know. We do this, and I get rolling, and things jump into my mind. That's why I don't have like verses prepared. If we look at the book of Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, God admonished the prophet. He said, look, if you keep your silence and don't say anything, then you share in their guilt. Because prophets like, why do I got to tell these people? They ain't going to listen anyway. If you don't say anything, you share in their guilt. But as long as you say something, then you don't share in their guilt. You see, when I say we bear witness to these things, as we speak about them, yes, the whole thing's going to sink. This whole thing's going to burn down. But ultimately, as they face judgment, they will not have the defense of saying, nobody told us. How are we supposed to know, God? How are we supposed to know? Nobody told us. Nobody said anything. But when they have the guilt of, yes, there were those that were telling you these things. You just refused to listen. Double so if you persecuted and attacked and slandered and did everything you could to bring harm to those who were telling you the truth. So they stand in true guilt because they can't claim nobody told them. They can't claim they didn't know. Thus, this is why we bear witness. If you go into a court, and I'm not trying to say that God's judgment is like being in a courtroom. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just using this as a comparison. If you go into a court, what do? They call witnesses because you got this guy. So, of course, the guy, whether he's guilty or innocent, is going to say, I didn't do that. You know? It's like, we caught you with the gun in your pocket that was the murder weapon. Them ain't even my pants. Yeah, of course, the defendant's going to say he didn't do it. And then you got, the state in a courtroom would be saying, well, yes, you did. We caught you with the murder weapon in your pocket, and your fingerprints all over it. And, we have all this evidence. But they're going to call witnesses. They're going to call witnesses. We got a witness. They saw him shoot this guy. And call witnesses. So that's your job. Part of our job, part of why we have to go through this shit show. And I'm kind of resentful that we have to go through it. My faith is not 100%. You might think that. I'd hate to rain on your parade. Don't want to dampen your view of me. Problem with that. One of the points that we have to be along for this ride is we have to bear witness against it. We have to see it. We have to testify to it. We have to tell it. They can't say nobody told us. They can't say, well, nobody warned us. People get hung up. They think God's rules, God's guidelines, are just simply about, you know, this is like some kind of roadmap to heaven. It's not. It's really about how to make your life run smoothly. And on a larger scale, applied to a larger scale, this is how you make a nation run smoothly. This is how you make a nation that is secure, a nation that is fundamentally stable, is you stay within the guidelines. You follow the manual. But we've replaced, in our nations, we've replaced the manual. We've replaced God's rules and guidelines with what? Men's laws, which are men's rules, which are nothing more than brute force. It is absolutely, that's all it comes down to, is brute force. It's all they got. And now it becomes even more apparent because now they just keep changing. They keep changing what's allowed. They keep changing what their rules are on the fly. They apply them how they want to apply them. Now, one might argue and say, yes, but look, you have these very successful people. I mean, you can have individual people who are successful, seem to be doing pretty well in life, that operate outside of God's laws. The oligarchs are obviously living way the hell outside of God's laws. But you see, individually, you can have individuals wind up operating outside of what appears to be the natural order, and on the surface, at least, appear to be doing okay. They appear to be getting away. They appear to be doing all right by human standards. But the problem is, the more and more of that you get, the more the society becomes unstable. You see, a functioning society can tolerate a few people. Remember, you got all these people operating, and not all of them are going to be operating under God's laws, within God's guidelines, within the owner's manual. You're going to have a few that aren't. And as long as the bulk amount of people are operating, it will absorb that. This comes down to, like, the natural order is self-correcting, and it will use the least amount of force necessary. The least amount of force necessary to put things back in balance the way they're supposed to be. Or it will use the maximum amount necessary. It will use the least amount of force necessary to put things back in balance, even if that means destroying everything. The natural order will not be denied. If you have millions and millions of people, and as a whole, they're operating under God's rules, God's guidelines, the natural order of things, then things are going to rock on. Yes, not every single one of them is going to be. There's going to be a few in there that are in complete rebellion. They disregard all things of the Lord. There are going to be those. There isn't even going to be those that do that and are rich. They're oligarchs. They're wealthy. If it's a few. If it's a few, then as a whole, the system is running. The system is running the way it should as a whole, because there's just a few. But the problem is, those few corrupt, especially as they have power. I mean, the guy that's living outside of God's rules and guidelines, it's, I don't know, a homeless person on the street, he's not really going to influence society a whole lot. But a rich oligarch that, you know, rules over middle management politicians, that lives outside of God's rules, God's guidelines, God's laws, he's going to have a way to affect society a whole bunch. Somebody who's living outside of what God has established, that can promote entire agendas, that can promote these things through the media, that can promote these things through laws being passed, they're going to have a lot of influence on society as a whole. And a more corrupted society, you know, we're told in the Bible, little yeast works through the whole dough. As the society becomes more corrupted, now as a bulk, instead of staying within the guidelines, now as a whole, we're outside of guidelines. Now as a whole, we're way outside of what God has established. And the natural order is going to use the least amount of force, even if it means burning and destroying everything, to get things back in balance. We're, as a society, way outside of what God has established. And we wonder why it's collapsing. We wonder why things are continuing to get worse. We wonder why militarily we spend more than all of these other countries combined on our military, and we can't beat a small, primitive nation. Why? Outside of the guidelines, outside of the boundaries. Ultimately, we have to accept our role in this. We are to bear witness to it, as we've already covered. We're to bear witness to it. You have one of the things we emphasize here, as you well know, if you're a regular listener, is you have to always accept the only thing in this world you have control over is yourself. cannot control the society as a whole. You can't control what other people do. You can speak up. You can tell them, hey, you're outside the guidelines. You know, you really should stop doing that. Things will go better for you. If enough people would do it, we could turn, we would have a society again. But ultimately, you have to understand, you only have control over yourself. You have to keep yourself as close to being within the natural order, within God's guidelines, God's rules, God's laws, as you can. To do your best to do that. That's all you can affect. And when people sit there and say, oh, well, you're just telling people to be powerless. I'm not. I'm telling people to grab the power they have. If I tell you to go swim across the ocean, that's an impossible task. You cannot do it. But if I tell you, oh, learn how to swim, and then you can do a couple of laps in this pool, that's an achievable thing. You have control over yourself. You cannot force other people to do what you want them to do. You can tell them, you can warn them, you can bear witness. Ultimately, you have control over yourself. That's what you've got to focus on. And again, you get people that think you somehow should have the power to just change everything around you. But you don't. It's an impossible task, and it leads to people getting frustrated and essentially giving up on life. You can't do that. You've got to focus on what you can do. And your ultimate control is over yourself. We got to wrap up on that note. I hope you got something out of it. Like I said, we went into this and I had this kind of big picture. And I think we got the message. I think I was able to convey what I wanted to convey. Because we are living in troubling times. The society is collapsing. It's not a mystery why. We've covered it today. If after today's discussion, you don't understand why do we live in a collapsing society, now you should. If you don't re-listen to it, at some point you maybe you'll get it. Hopefully you will. I think you will. I've got confidence in all of you. But it can be frustrating. I believe me, I get frustrated with it. I don't like it. Have faith. Do what you can. Focus on what you can do. Speak the truth. Try your best to live within God's guidelines. Sorry. That's ultimately all you can do. It really is. People that say you need to be doing something more, they have no clue, because what are you going to do? You can't control other people. You can control yourself. You have authority. You have autonomy over yourself. Even if they threaten you with brute force, you have autonomy over yourself, over your own decisions. And that's what you got to focus on. Anyway, like I said, we got to get on out of here. Hope you got something out of the show. And don't forget, I'm on Fridays on the day of the Nationals with Sven Longshanks. I was trying to have a fun discussion there. Want to be sure and catch that. And of course, be sure and come back here and catch us next Tuesday for the Parish of the Patriots.